Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
In the absence of our practice leader, I was asked to say a few words. And recently at Empty Bowl, where I sit, we had an Ango practice. And Ango practice is traditionally a Zen practice. It happened during the lifetime of Buddha. When the rainy season came, the monks couldn't come and go, so they had to stay in the Vihara, and during that period, they would intensify their practice. And during Ango, those of us who want to choose to make a commitment to deepen our practice in whatever way we choose. It could be more meditation, it could be study of a particular text. And during that period, it could be anywhere from 60 to 90 days. We endeavor to realize that practice. And this year, as one of the facilitators of the Ango, my co-facilitator and I chose a line from the Heart Sutra. The line was, with no hindrance in our mind, no hindrance, therefore no fear. We chose that, and each of us chose also another topic, and mine was to recognize and see our own perfection. That was pretty ambitious, but we worked on it. And in doing so, it was always running in my mind, so the happenings and things that were going on, I'd always be aware of my hindrances, like what's keeping me from this, what's keeping me from that, and then also all the self-criticism, and you say, yeah, we're supposed to be perfect, whole, and complete, but I don't look very perfect to me, you know, that kind of thing. So it was very helpful to me. And during that period of time, I have a friend who was attending a class called Aging and Saging. I mean, if I remembered a Rumi poem about taking all that comes without resistance. And I thought of two. And one was, today, like every other day, we wake up empty and frightened. Don't open the door to the study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty you love be what you do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. And that touched me, that line touched me very deeply. What is this recognition? What is this beauty that led us to this practice and evokes this choice to continue on the path? What is it? How many times have I scanned a book on the teachings I had read previously and reviewed what I underlined, remembering the impact it had on me, but the actual thrust faded away and somehow did not become integrated. That moment when you read something, when you get a shiver, when you hear a teisho and feel that shiver, can this be the beauty of something we love? Is this a recognition of something in particular that is touching us deeply? Will it, like everything else, fade? The impact being impermanent? Is it because I wanted to hold on to it? Did the words stay merely as words? How can we keep it from fading, these things that move us? These things that inspire us. Recently, while gathering thoughts for encouraging myself and others, as I was studying a koan that Sensei Ray suggested, in the commentary, I hit upon the meaning of the word nen, which has no equivalent in English. We say it every time we do the Mae Juku Kanon Go. What is nen? The first nen is one with the activity without reflection, acting intuitively and experiencing direct, pure cognition. This happens every moment in the space before our thoughts arrive. We experience this moment of pure cognition, every moment. The second nen immediately follows the first, when we reflect on something and try to identify it, name it, think about it. But the third nen is taking a further step and developing what was identified and thought about. This can go on and on, imagining scenarios getting further and further away from the state of the pure cognition. This delusive thinking interferes with that first moment of cognition, that first nen. If you repeat Me Juku Kanon Gyo, which we do every time we do our chant service, you'll see that there's only two nens. It's never nen, nen, nen. It's only nen, nens. When we continue our Zen practice, it leads us to samadhi, which is described as a non-dualistic state of consciousness where our experience becomes not subjective, but one with our subject. And this is a state where our mind becomes pointed or concentrated, where we can cut off delusive thoughts. So continuing this practice, the activity of the second and third nen will cease. And gradually, through constant practice, the first nen is free to perform its inherently pure and direct cognition. As described in the Genjo Koan, when you open to the 10,000 things I would add to this in the state of the first nen, the universe comes towards you. Everything comes towards you. And when you don't need to advance towards it. If you read the Genjo Koan, Dogen says when we advance towards things, when we reach for things, when we want things, we become in a state, we go towards a state of delusion. For many years, I have read and tried to remain, as we have heard so many times, in the present moment. The whole idea of being here now. It continued to be a thought impossible because of the self-consciousness, and not being able to, trying to stay with that idea already moves me away from being in the moment. But I have to say that this nen thing, it's been a tremendous help to me because I keep reminding myself to return to the first nen, to become aware of the breath, to become aware of the coolness or warmth on my skin, the sounds around me, the sensations of the moment. So since this happened, when this gets triggered, I can step back and quiet myself better than before because of this strategy, I'll call it, for now. So in this state, no issue of preferences, no issues of picking and choosing. We keep reading in our Zen literature to stop picking and choosing, to stop picking and choosing. But we keep picking and choosing because it's of our nature to get what we want the way we want it. But in this state of the first nen, there's no issue of picking and choosing. And because I'm not picking and choosing, I'm not judging. And if I'm not judging, then there are no hindrances. No hindrances at all. And in this state of simply being, to face fear, powerlessness, and not knowing, and still continuing to trust in the way. This, to me, is the perfection that we trust in. This is the part of us that's perfect. Reaching for this, trusting this path. This is our intrinsic wisdom that leads us to the commitment for practice. This is Guido Lauri. Each time we sit, we manifest the supreme enlightenment of the Buddha in our own life. Each time we strengthen our sitting, we enable the power of that zazen to reach into all the activities of our life. It keeps us connected with our humanity, with who we are, and with what our life is. That's Daido Lori. So the closing of Me Juku Kanon Gyo is Nen Nen Fu Ri Shin. Okay, we know now what Nen means. Fu means not, Ni means separate, and Shin means mine. Thought after thought after thought after thought. is not separate from this mind. And you may know in Chinese, the character for mind is the same character as for heart. So when you're saying mind, you're saying heart as well. So with no hindrances, we trust in our intrinsic wisdom and perfection, while taking note of the fifth of the Buddha's five remembrances. And the last of the five of Buddha's remembrances is, my actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape from the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. So that's the fifth. You know, when I wrote this, I wanted to use that as the last sentence, and I hesitated to read the first four because I said, oh, that's so heavy duty, you know? But I don't know if you know what the first four are. Perhaps you do. The five remembrances from Buddha is, there is no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everything I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. And so I said to myself, that's kind of depressing. I don't know if I want to read that. But now I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking about our evening gossip. Let me respectfully remind you. And actually, that's only one side of the coin. The other side is, what a miracle that we're here today. What a miracle of our life. Our life, all the choices we have, all the things we can do, and all the opportunities and the wonders in life, and of course the natural world, which is blossoming right now that we can see. So I'll end with the story of my favorite movie, which is Ikiru. And Ikiru is a Japanese film, and the title is To Live. And to give a very short thing of it, there's an old man who worked at a government office his whole life. He's now old. He stamps papers all day long, and he has a nickname in the office. They called him the mummy, because all he do is come in, stamp his papers, leave. But anyways, he goes to the doctor, and he finds out he has terminal cancer. He realizes, he wakes up, he sees that what has he done, you know? So he goes into a real spin. He goes to a bar. He doesn't know how to handle this information because it's woken a lot of things up. And the sideline story is he's been widowed for many years, and he lives with his son and daughter-in-law. And they're just tired of him. They pay little attention to him, and he doesn't even feel able to tell them of his condition. So he wanders around. He goes to bars, and he meets a young lady that used to work in his office. She was a very lively young woman, and she was so bored by that environment that she took a job in a factory making toys. And one day, and he's getting kind of a little dirty, and he's walking around, and he runs into her. And something about her vitality and her embracing of life and her excitement over just nothing, it did something to him, and he remembers that when he was stamping his papers, there were this group of ladies who wanted a little park in the little triangle that was like a mud hole at that point. And he knows what the whole system is because he worked there, and he knows how difficult it is, but he decides he's going to try to get this park realized for these ladies and for the children. And so the next parts are how he goes from one office to the other. He does not stop. He's persistent. They make him go in that circle, you know, when you want something, you call to get some help on the phone and they keep sending you to somebody else. It's that kind of a situation. And finally, he's able to realize this. And he realizes the part and he dies. And in his wake, during the period of his wake, things come together that are shocking to many, because his son and daughter-in-law were sure that he was running around with that young woman. People had such poor opinions of him during the time. And I think I'm telling this story because the five remembrances, we're going to get old, we're going to get sick, we're going to die, we're going to lose everything, everything's going to fade. But not now. Right now, here we are, doing what we want to do, planning what we want to plan. And it's a miracle that we can do what we wish today and most days. Thank you.